It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Christina Bellman. She is the founder and CEO of Levo. Thanks for being here, joining us from Denver.
Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you. If you could first start out by telling us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey, your background leading to starting Levo.
Sure. My background's in finance, mostly. I went to NYU Stern School of Business and was on the path to do investment banking. Did that briefly. Then did pricing strategy with IBM and was there for about 5 years. But the whole time, this was my side hustle, essentially. It was an idea that I had in college that I was pursuing on nights and weekends for several years and then finally took the leap and went full-time about a year ago.
Awesome. Yeah. And for those who are not familiar, what is Levo?
Levo is a hardware unit. It's a first-of-a-kind oil infuser that you can infuse any oil or butter with any herb. And we're building a whole lifestyle brand around sort of like DIY infusion and all the different things you could do with it.
Very cool. Okay, yep. Well, we're going to dive more into that in a second. But first, we are going to kick things off with our 60-second rapid-fire CEO questions.
Sounds fun.
Starting with, who is your favorite entrepreneur?
Sarah Blakely, founder of Spanx.
Someone is very disruptive in your company. They're great at what they do. Do you keep them or fire them?
Keep them. Bring it on.
How many hours do you sleep a night?
Six.
Do you work weekends?
What's a weekend?
What is the first thing you do when you wake up?
I call it the morning celebration. I just sort of like pause and like start, have an intention to start the day.
Morning celebration. I love that. Yeah. What rule do you live by?
You can have it all. If there's a will, there's a way.
Ooh, on a scale from 1 to 10, how weird are you?
Sometimes a 7, sometimes a 9.
It depends on the day, right?
Yeah.
When did you realize you have the strength and power to become an entrepreneur?
In a conversation with a friend of mine at Columbia University, like right before I graduated college, I was telling her about my idea, and she said, just go for it. Why, you can do both. Like, go take your corporate job and also get this done nights and weekends. Like, you could do it.
Cool.
Yeah.
And how would you describe yourself in one word?
Focused, unless I'm not. Yes.
Focused with a little asterisk. I love it. Okay. What superhero would you want to be, or what superpower would you like to have?
Add more days to the week. That would be an amazing superpower.
Time stretcher.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
So what does being an entrepreneur mean to you? And now, by the way, we're done with the rapid fire, so
okay. You
can take the time
I think it just means the ability to, like, get things done and not need any structure. Do what you have to do to get things done, not need structure, be fueled by your own self-motivation and not by, you know, having to be pressured by any kind of infrastructure or manager or anything. Just doing that yourself.
And you were in a corporate job, a more traditional job, starting your side hustle alongside your work, that is. So tell me a little bit about that transition. First of all, what was it like being an entrepreneur and working for a corporation? And then how did you gradually go off on your own?
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, I referenced earlier in the 60-second questions, my conversation with my friend in college, I was sort of having like an identity crisis even going into corporate recruiting right at the end of college, because I had this energy that I could just sense was not going to be fulfilled and used really in those roles, but I also, you know, wanted to establish myself as an adult and had invested so much in my education and everything else to get started that way. So it was hard. You know, there were definitely times where it was frustrating. Like, I felt like I was, like, holding something back a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And then it was definitely difficult for a number of years, like, self-funding this and having it be my side hustle. It was definitely tiring, but then it ends up being exciting, you know, now to take the leap, so...
Any advice for entrepreneurs who are starting a business while working for another business?
Yeah, just, you know, be honest with yourself about what it really takes to do it. You truly have to be full-time. So, you know, stretch it as long as you can and do what you have to do, you know, financially and everything else that you have to do, because you don't want to fall on your face. You don't want to leave too early and fall on your face. But at the same time, just know that you can't do that forever.
When did you know it was the right time to leave?
You know, when there just, like, weren't enough hours in a day, and I was going to start, you know, I just could sense that it was all bursting at the seams. Like, it became more and more obvious for me. I actually had meetings scheduled with investors right at that moment when I, like, also quit. Like, I'd made sure I took it as far as I possibly could and had validated it so I'd feel confident as I could.
But, yeah. Have you ever been afraid to fail?
Oh, definitely. For sure. Yeah.
Most entrepreneurs say that. Every once in a while, I'll get, like, a very overly confident entrepreneur.
Really?
That's like, no, I've always got that.
I would like to borrow that for a little while.
Yeah, no. I think that's an important thing to reiterate for entrepreneurs watching and listening. There's always a certain degree of fear. It's just about moving past that, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, for me, I feel like I did everything I could to mitigate a lot of those risks, because it came from a place of fear. You know, you think about all the bad things that could happen and you try and do something to mitigate that risk. And at some point you do the best you can. It's never going to be perfect. There's still inherently so much risk in just taking the leap, but you know, you do what you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you could go back in time to your early months, what advice would you give your early entrepreneurial self?
I would tell myself to slow down. Which is something I've been advised on, you know, many times, but I think I kind of, like, came in really hot when I had the idea, right at the end of college, before I had actually taken a full-time job, and had a lot of resources at school, you know, different professors and different, you know, groups that they had there and clubs and things like that. And I think before I was ready, just kind of burnt through a lot of those resources out of excitement. Whereas if I had been more patient, developed my materials more, fleshed out the idea a little more, and gotten more advice, I think I would have been able to use those resources and more and not really burn through them.
So meaning, are you specifically speaking to your network of not, like, going to your network and asking for help too soon before you have maybe some more of the puzzle pieces in place?
I think it's network, and even if there's, you know, certain, like, you know, either, like, pitch competitions or, you know, entrepreneur centers and clubs and things like that, you know, just if there's an important contact or an intro you can get or a resource like that, I just think, you know, it's better to be patient with it and go and try and use that at the right time. Versus just rushing it, because you can lose credibility that way.
Yeah, what do you think is important to have in place before you start burning through some of those contacts?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, because I'm not one to believe in, like, holding yourself back or, like, overdeveloping materials and perfecting things. Like, that's definitely not ideal. But at least run it by a mentor or two, or even a friend. Like, at least do your crash course conversations on other people and let them challenge you first, so that you've kind of, like, worked out at least the biggest kinks.
Yeah, have
kinks.
The lower stake conversations first
before you go
to the higher stake.
Yes.
I got it.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the scariest thing about working for yourself?
Scariest thing? I think the financial stress on you, on your life personally, and a little bit of the unknown there is hard, especially coming from, like, a corporate background where, you know, it's sort of, it's different, mm-hmm. and your life is a little bit more secure in that sense. So, yeah, I would say that's probably one of the biggest challenges.
What's the best part about working for yourself?
Definitely the authenticity behind what you do. Like, mm-hmm. being able to do things the way that you feel is aligned with your values and things that you feel good about and standing behind them and working really hard on them versus like being imposed on having to work on something a certain way or on a different value system that is harder to stand behind.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you could create a startup toolkit, what would be inside?
Ooh. Definitely some really good mentors, preferably some people who have like been through the ringer and are willing to talk about it, that have some great spark notes. So that, some good IP, some nice IP, and it wouldn't hurt to have a little bit of cash.
Yeah, for sure. So on that note, who has been your number one mentor? And what's been the advice that they've given you?
Yeah. Honestly, some of the advice that my dad has given me, like even just growing up, has been some of the most salient advice through this whole time.
But is he an entrepreneur?
No, but he's like a very self-made person. He works at a bigger company, but sort of went from like hard hat construction worker to real estate executive. So
very cool.
Somebody like that. And his advice has been slow down. So, you know, some of that early advice where I ran through the gate, I think he kind of knew that about my personality even when I was younger and could have anticipated that. So could have heeded that advice. And also just about relationships and stuff. You know, he's always told me those would be challenging parts of work and life. So
challenging, but some of the most crucial components,
for sure.
Really cultivate that network in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. But mentors are absolutely key.
So what do you do for fun?
At this point, like with my current life as it is, as crazy as it is, like a great conversation and a glass of wine and some good food, that sounds like a blast to me.
You're like winding,
right now.
Winding down.
Yeah, that sounds great. But at a different point in my life, you know, like bungee jumping, scuba diving, roller coaster, those also sound fun. But
you've got an adventure
now.
Bone in you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about building the business. Sit tight. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Credit products are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
How did I get into credit card debt? A trip to the emergency room.
Car repairs.
Moving expenses?
There's a million ways to get into credit card debt, but one sure way to start getting out. Avant. Avant offers access to online unsecured loans from $2,000 to $35,000 at competitive rates and no extra charges for paying back early. Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. The application takes minutes, and if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, funds are deposited as soon as the next business day. And now Avant will also give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 7171 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 7171. Avant.com, code 7171.
You can't print invoices without ink. You can't print status reports, spreadsheets, or that report due in 12 minutes without ink. No, you can't print anything without ink. Luckily, Staples has a huge selection of ink and toner in stock and at great prices every day. And during Staples Printing Event, buy one HP ink cartridge and get a second 30% off. So stock up now, because you can't afford to run out of ink.
Ends 10/13/18. Restrictions may apply. See store associate or staples.com/ink savings for details.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley, continuing my conversation with Christina Bellman. She is the founder and CEO of Levo. So was there a particular moment where you came up with this idea? I know that it was a while ago when you were in college, but was there something in particular that inspired it?
Yes. I was studying abroad, actually, living in a house with a bunch of other people. And there was a group of guys, really smart people who all now work at like Fortune 500 companies and whatnot, who were really struggling to make a sort of magical infused treat for a get together. I think it was like a Super Bowl party. And they were just making a complete mess and stinking up the house and arguing and spending hours on it. And I was sort of like a fly on the wall watching, wondering, like, is this really that difficult? It's like infusing something really that hard. And took to the internet and felt like I kind of like struck oil in a way. There was just so much content, so many people talking about it, and it was sort of like sitting in front of my computer. I realized there was an unrealized opportunity that I could go after, and the ideas just started flowing at that moment.
Yeah, you know, I think entrepreneurs, because they tend to be more creative and have bigger visions, these various ideas come to them. But then the question becomes, which one do you want to run with? Which one are you passionate about that you could see, you know, really going the long haul? So what was it about this idea that made you go, this is it? I want to turn this into a thriving business.
Yeah, I think because I'm like a fairly pragmatic person, I try to mitigate risk and feel like I can, I set out on things that I can accomplish. Part of it was, I feel like I could do this. Like I saw a solution in my head to the problem that I felt really confident about, which
you
got me more excited.
Opportunity based upon your research.
Yeah. And felt like I had the resources and the capability to do it. And also it was something that, like I'm passionate about like health and natural wellness and things like that. And I felt like it really fit into that and would feel good to do. And it felt tangible as well. You know, there was something about finance that was always kind of like intangible to me. And it felt exciting to like build real value in something that I could see and affect people's lives and things like that.
Yeah, cool. So how did you get the capital to start the company?
I self-funded it from 2011 to 2016, all the way up to the point where I needed to make like the first capital expenditure on like the molds and tools for the physical appliance. And that was like all the prototyping and the initial IP and things like that. So I self-funded it to then. And then before we did a pre-order campaign, I raised a small angel round to get started.
Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our entrepreneurs are bootstrapping their businesses in the beginning. Any advice for making your money stretch a little bit further?
Yeah. I mean, definitely ask for help. Get warm introductions. That tends to have a discounting effect on on various things that you need. And
goes back to building up that network.
Yeah, definitely. And just be scrappy. Like, you know, it's amazing how much you can do yourself if with a little bit of research and asking someone who's done it before.
A lot of being an entrepreneur is being a student and learning new skills.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And a lot of times on our team, we talk about like rubbing sticks together to make fire. Like, it's actually not easy. But if you keep at it, you know, you could do it and do it yourself. So
yeah, I love that. That's a good way of putting it. So do you have any key business partners that really help you keep the train moving?
So it's just me. I'm a sole founder, but I have an amazing team around me, and I love having an
amazing
team.
Tell me a little bit about your team, kind of the various departments that they encompass and what their roles are.
Yeah. We have like a head of marketing, product, operations, and those are the main like three kind of core team functions as a hardware company that we need. And then kind of around us, we have designers and people that help us with some other production management stuff. And that's probably a staff of like seven people at this point.
Yeah, awesome. So when you're considering hiring, what are you looking for?
People that are truly interested in the idea and like sink their teeth into it, and they just kind of get it and see past where it is now and kind of understand that there is a long-term vision. You can kind of tell when someone really sees that and isn't stuck in like the present. So I guess there's that. And then also just fit with the team. You know, our most recent hire, I remember like making the decision in my head once I saw, you know, that person among the team and just felt the right fit and all that synergy.
So do you guys actually have an office, or are they remote employees?
So we have a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. We're kind of all over the place, but we do have HQ is Denver, and we do have an office.
And how important would you say work culture is to you?
Very important. Yeah.
How would you describe yours?
Fun, honestly. I think it's really important to make things fun. You know, we have a fair amount of inside jokes, and we can make light of things, but also, like, very dialed in. Each person is on their own mission and has, you know, a very clear role and can kind of operate in their own. If they want to put their blinders on and just do a whole day on their own, there's not too much overlap. Mm-hmm. But then also we have so many points where we come together and we collaborate, and then when we do that, we really enjoy it, and it can be fun.
Yeah. What's been the biggest challenge so far?
Probably, except for me, accepting things that I can't change, and that sometimes things are out of my control, and just kind of embracing that and sort of
having to let go a little bit.
Yeah.
What has been the biggest success?
For us, the business securing distribution was huge, like that validation for the business and just the sheer volume and sales, and really getting that momentum to reinvest in other things that we want to do was huge.
And what would you say in general is your definition of success? Like, how do you measure it? Is it by customer satisfaction? Is it from raising money? You know, what would you say it is for you?
There is no money without customers. So it kind of all begins there. So I would say, you know, customer satisfaction and pent up demand and sheer demand would definitely be an attribute of success for us. Yeah.
So do you guys have any competition in the space? Are you the first, or are you having to differentiate yourselves?
So in our space, we're the only one with IP, and we're truly a new appliance. Mm-hmm. So it is a first of a kind. It is a first of a kind appliance. There's some indirect competition in the space of like repurposed other kinds of appliances, but I think what makes us unique is our branding and our IP.
And are you wanting to be seen as innovative and disruptive? And if so, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, for sure. I think so. I let it be known that we're the first people doing this, and we're doing it differently, and we run very differently as a company in our space. That's definitely important to us and part of our brand.
Yeah. What would you say has been the biggest lesson that you've learned so far?
The biggest lesson? Definitely just slowing down and the importance of just surrounding yourself around good people. That's just as important as all the hard work and everything else to be sustainable.
Yeah. Would you say that you've reached the goals that you originally set out to achieve, or are you ahead of them, behind? Where are you at with them?
So actually, we're ahead of the first model that I ever made. So the first, like, financial model that I sat down and made to raise the very first funds, we're a little bit ahead of that, which is a really exciting thing looking back on this year for us.
Cool. Very cool. So lastly, we'll just end on a fun note, and that is, if you were not an entrepreneur, what role would you want to have? What position in the world?
Probably something like with animals, like rescuing animals, saving animals. I'm a huge like animal lover, so something
That's
like that.
Awesome.
I would probably indulge in that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah,
really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS, is the sudden, unexplained death of a baby younger than one. During SIDS Awareness Month, the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development, NICHD, Safe to Sleep campaign wants everyone to know how to help babies sleep safely. Dr. Marion Coso Thomas of the NICHD.
To reduce the risk of SIDS, always place your baby on his or her back to sleep. Use a firm and flat sleep surface, such as a mattress, in a safety-approved crib covered by a fitted sheet with no other bedding or soft items in the sleep area. Do not put soft objects, toys, crib bumpers, or loose bedding anywhere in the baby's sleep area. The American Academy of Pediatrics also recommends that parents share their room with the baby, keeping him or...
You know, there are a lot of great reasons small business people trust LegalZoom. For starters, if you want to incorporate, form an LLC or a nonprofit, file a patent or a trademark, get a DBA, and much more, LegalZoom provides the help that you need. Over the past decade, more than a million business owners just like you have started with LegalZoom. Now, LegalZoom is also your first stop when you need advice from an attorney. Now, here's the deal. LegalZoom's not a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys available in most states to provide legal advice and other useful services to help you run your business. So whether you need a contract reviewed or advice on whether you should incorporate or form an LLC, whatever your legal question, start with LegalZoom.com. And as always, they provide complete transparency with upfront pricing, customer reviews, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. Make the smart choice for your business at LegalZoom.com today. And don't forget to enter Ray at checkout to save even more. Again, that's Ray at checkout for more savings. LegalZoom.com. Legal help is here.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-560-560.
To inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. Nancy O'Connell is joining us right now. She's the co-founder of Wine Crasher. Nancy, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So what is Wine Crasher? Obviously, it's in the wine business, but what do you guys do?
So we are a wine retail company with the premise of Priceline and Hotwire behind it to kind of sell wine in a way to secure the lowest prices in the market, withhold producer information, and give people a surprise.
Perfect. So I'm going on your website to look up my favorite wine or wines, and you guys on winecrasher.com essentially helped me find my favorite wine for the best price. Kind of like favorite hotel for the best price.
I know. We will try. We right now what we have is a website with a store of wines that you can go peruse through.
It's not all the world's wines, but you guys are building the platform out.
Yes, but we are building the platform out. Right now it's things that we've gone through and tasted that we enjoy. They're critically rated from Wine Spectator. Exactly, all the time. like right now.
Like right now, we're hammered.
Exactly. I need more wine.
No, I told you, next time bring the wine for us, okay?
I will, I promise. but what we have is a store of wines that we have gone through and tasted. Mm. They're rated from Wine Spectator, Robert Parker, Venice Media, and Berghound to secure really that it's, and really make people feel comfortable that it's not just me selling the wine or Neve selling the wine. Okay. It's critically rated. You can see it. You can figure it out.
What I love about what you said is that, you know, one of the reasons why you don't have all the wines in the world on there yet is because your quality standard, where the bar is set, is you actually make sure that you're tasting it.
Yes.
And that you, as one of the co-founders, believe in the quality of the product you're putting on your
site. Yes. I have a hard time selling things that I don't fully believe in.
We all do, unless we're just pathological liars, right?
That'd be terrible. But I do really want to believe in the products that we have. And so it's nice to be able to have a store that people can look at if they have questions about it. We're huge encouragers of reaching out. It's, you know, we talk about having that personal service, and I think a lot of people always claim to be personal service, but we truly encourage our customers to reach out, ask questions, tell us what they're looking
for. You say that now until you guys get too big.
No, I love that. I love the personal connection.
So outside of being able to be drunk all the time, that's your favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
What else inspires you and keeps you excited about your business?
I love to read about the wine industry. I think it's always changing. It's ever evolving, especially right now. Napa Valley's going through harvest, and I love just kind of the buzz around the valley. So that keeps me going.
What are you guys looking to do to grow? You know, at the end of the day, having a company and being able to actually sustain it, that's one thing. And then having a company and be able to scale it is a whole nother thing. So what are some of the strategies and tactics you guys have in place to help you scale and grow your business to where we both know it's capable of going to?
That's why I'm the co-founder. I don't think about those things.
No, you just drink the wine.
I just drink the wine.
Okay.
I buy the wine.
It's a good role to be in.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think Neve and I have a pretty good idea of some of the things we want to be able to do. We want to be able to gain enough trust from our clientele that, you know, aside from bringing critically rated awesome wines, that they learn to trust our palates and our judgment as well, so that we can have wines later that might not be rated and things that are super awesome that they're totally missing. So I think we would really like to get to that point. We just launched a wine club, so it's fun to have that personal connection with our clients that way and kind of keep things focused on a wine club. I think nowadays you look at Wine Awesomeness or Club W or all of these other wine clubs that are out there, and we want to be a little different than them. We want to sell critically rated wines, things that people know these producers have been some of the Italian producers that we've been selling, they've been in business and been making wine since the 1700s. So it's nice to be able to look back and say, you know, we have history, we have all of these things. So I think that's what we want to grow as our wine club.
So how are you actually going and getting these relationships? Because that sounds like the key. You've got to put a lot of work in to go out and get all of these different partnerships and companies and distributions. And, you know, you were saying 1700, yeah, some of these wines have been around. So how do you go and build these different partnerships and relationships?
So right now in Napa Valley and kind of everywhere in the wine industry, you deal with distributors and brokers or importers.
Is everyone
all
just
sorts
drunk?
Of things? Yes, all the time. Haven't you figured it out? No. Okay. So we
the
have
one
all
common
of,
theme amongst the whole industry.
Exactly, it's alcohol. Working with distributors and everything right now has kind of been the base of where we are. We're hoping to get our licensing for doing direct imports as well to really go through, okay, and be able to go to areas and select wines. We've also been working with a few importers that import direct and kind of creating relationships that way.
Nice. So just some, yeah, grassroots stuff going back,
exactly,
to the basics.
Keeping it old school. It's all about people connections.
What about company culture? I'm always, you know, really interested to know how companies are structuring their business. What is it like, especially in the wine space? You know, are you guys, you know, drinking wine on Fridays, keeping it casual? If I go to your office, what's it going to be like?
Oh my gosh. Well, my office is actually my kitchen, which is pretty amazing.
That's nice.
It's great.
Eat and drink.
I can whenever I want. We are a bicultural company. So my founder, Neve Nissenson, is based in Tel Aviv, and I'm based in the heart of Napa Valley.
So you get to deal with the difference.
So we get to deal with different time zones,
yeah,
and all sorts
fun
of things. It's kind of nice in the wine industry nowadays to, and kind of just being in that tech space, you can work from wherever. You don't have to be chained to a desk. You can kind of do, you know, what you do wherever you are. I like to get up and move around a lot. So for me, I pick up my stuff and I go to where I feel comfortable.
Well, I love what you're all about, because living remotely is truly where entrepreneurship is heading. Co-founder of Wine Crasher, Nancy O'Connell, is joining us right now. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Wine Crasher is essentially wine, but like Priceline.com. You can get the, yeah, best wines at the best price.
Exactly.
And you're only getting more and more wines on there every, yeah, day, every week. So I'm excited to see you guys blow up.
Thanks.
But so we're talking about, you know, some of the things you guys are doing. Your business is from your house. Love that. Same thing for me. working remotely is, you know, what really gives me my passion is that I have the laptop lifestyle and go anywhere I want.
Yeah.
For you, how are you actually managing the relationship with your husband? I mean, you work at home, so that's great. But a,
yeah,
lot of times I see people where they focus so much on business and their health starts to deteriorate. They focus so much on business and then their relationship starts to deteriorate with their significant other or their children. So how do you and your husband make sure that you two are having an amazing life and relationship while you also focus on building this amazing company?
Well, the best part about the wine industry, I think, is just the culture itself. It's always, I think when people really think about wine, they think about getting together with friends, cooking, having a good time, sitting around a table and just kind of hanging out. So I like to keep it lighthearted and fun, I think is the really big deal.
You seem very uptight and so strict and stressed.
Totally. Crack the whip. No, for me, it's really just about knowing at what time I'm going to be working, when I know I need to get things done and really kind of chaining myself to my area to just get stuff done. And then at a certain time during the night, I just put everything away. I don't want to see it. I want to have my life. I want to be able to relax and enjoy spinning, cooking with friends, hanging, yeah, out, all of that stuff.
So much more lifestyle driven.
Definitely.
Okay.
I think wine itself is such a lifestyle thing. So if I'm going to be involved in an industry like that, I want to make sure that I myself am living it. So,
well, I think you're doing a phenomenal job at
Thank
that. You. Have you ever had mentors that have really impacted you on your journey, whether it's your parents, friend, business partner, co-founder, maybe just even some people don't realize, but some of the best mentors ever are just in books. So has there been a mentor that's really had an impact on your life?
100%. And actually two of them are in the industry up in Napa Valley. One of them, okay, is actually has his own retail company, which is amazing. And I was working with them. I was their second employee and I was there for about 3.5 years.
Wow.
And
where you really got started?
Where I got kind of where, well, in when I was in Napa Valley, kind of where I felt, okay, myself really becoming who I was going to be. And it was just such a moment of really feeling like such a sponge, just absorbing everything that I possibly could.
And then you're like, I'm going to become your competitor.
I know. And it's such a friendly environment, though, too. So it's really nice to be able to engage with them and talk with them. And they perpetually are keeping me on my toes, which is wonderful. And then I had worked for a winery, and I was doing wholesale and direct-to-consumer sales. And the general manager there, just someone who was really, truly, really pushed me to think and to kind of embrace the don't be like everyone else, just become who you are. And so it was always really nice to be able to have those kind of conversations. So those two people really mean something to me.
So you had those two mentors that had a huge impact on your life.
Yeah, huge.
Now let's be a mentor for yourself. So, you know, I don't know about you personally, but if I could go back and sit down with myself when I first started my business, there's a few things, maybe a lot of things that I would share with myself.
Dear younger me.
Dear younger me, here's what you need to know from future me. So from your perspective, if you could go back and sit down with yourself when you were getting started, what's maybe one big thing that you'd want to share with yourself that you wish you knew starting out? Don't be drunk all the time on
the
job.
I know, exactly.
That's the obvious one.
Put down the glass. No, I think if anything, the one thing that I would tell myself and kind of like looking back is push yourself. Keep pushing yourself. There were times, I think, in my life where instead of pushing myself to stick something out or just, you know, just keep trying, it was just so much easier to back away. And I don't think that that was necessarily a great thing, but it did make me who I am. So I'm super grateful for those moments. But at the same time, it definitely made me think, push yourself, get outside your comfort zone, work harder, be different, you know, and just try to go that way. So
what are you most excited about for the future as you continue to push yourself out of your comfort zone?
I'm looking forward to being able to look back and look at all the things I've learned. I think it's been such an experience, and it's been a ride, and it's something that I've enjoyed. It's been really hard. It really pushes you emotionally. It kind of pushes you to your wit's end where you think, oh my God, is this actually going to happen? Are we actually doing this? And then it's very rewarding. It kind of gives you a sense of pride. So
there's a saying out there, and it's called 80% of success is your mindset. 20% of success is the mechanics and the strategies.
Yep.
Do you align with that? Do you think that most of success in life is between the ears?
Totally. I think it is. I think also when you push yourself into thinking that, you're going to make yourself work harder because you put into it what you get out of it what you put into it. And I think that's really a big deal.
So 80% of success is psychology and the mindset. 20% is the mechanics and the strategies.
Totally.
Co-founder of WineCrasher.com, which is basically Priceline.com, but for wine. Nancy O'Connell, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 0707 at checkout. That's harrys.com. Code 0707. Enjoy.
Credit products are issued by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Offer lasts for 90 days from air date. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Gift card offer valid only for new customers applying for a personal loan. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
Medical bills, credit card bills, auto loan bills. Oh, no.
Are you stressed trying to get your bills paid each month? Wouldn't it be a huge relief to make just one simple payment? Get that relief today with a debt consolidation loan through Avant. Avant is an online lending platform that has rescued hundreds of thousands of Americans struggling with the stress of high interest debt. That could save you money, simplify your life, and erase all that stress. The application is quick, and you could have the money you need as soon as the next business day if approved by 4:30 Central Time Monday through Friday. And now get a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your rates and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 2828 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 28.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes. A total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than half a million small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is CEO Roundtable, one of our favorites. David Erickson is here, the CEO and founder of FreeConferenceCall.com, and our friend Sean Neff from Neffware, the CEO and founder of that. Guys, welcome.
Thanks.
Thanks
good,
for being
good
here.
Good to be here. Yeah.
Let's talk about corporate culture. How did you build a culture around the FreeConferenceCall.com? What is the culture?
Yeah, the culture is I believe that I want the minds of the people. I don't want to come in and micromanage people and set on them how they, you know. I was very free to work the way that I, you know, worked, and that's how I found my success, and I try and breed that in the company. So it gets a little crazy, but I think all in all, we have a very diverse culture, and everybody's kind of doing their own thing, and yeah. I think that's what gets the best creative thinking.
And Sean, in Headwear, the culture is off the charts, right?
Around yeah, I mean, for us, it's...
I'm not saying you're square, but this is a different business.
Yeah, no, we've got a lot of very young employees, and a lot of them fit the lifestyle, right? Yeah. I mean, you come to the Neff office, and there's wetsuits, you know, all over people's hoods of their car, and they're surfing before work, and we've got Slurpee machines and, you know, ping pong. So, I mean, us, we're trying to keep those young kids entertained. So it's a very free-flowing,
kind of a millennial-based
100%
culture. When you look for new employees, let's hope you don't have to look for an employer. what do you look for?
I'm looking... I'm looking for passion and enthusiasm because I don't think those are the things that you can you know, you can train people to do the task.
You can't teach passion.
Yeah, you can't teach that. So I'm looking for somebody that's already motivated, right?
And how do you do that? I mean...
Well, it's tricky. It's hit and miss.
I think it's part of being a good CEO, right?
Yeah, it's a numbers game, and ultimately you've got to kind of, you know, bring people in and then trim a little bit. But you know, you can't always get it right. You know, I always say salespeople are either selling the customer or they're selling you,
right.
And when they're selling you, it's difficult because.
But you can tell, right? You have an instinctive. Like, would you hire me?
In a second, okay. I'd hire you.
That pause was almost.
You've
too
done
long.
Something right.
How about you, Sean?
Well, I would hire you. I'd start the roller skating team, right, and put you as the
rollerblading.
There we go.
The roller derby.
That's we'd launch that collaboration real quick. And yeah, for me, it's I like to rely heavily upon kind of. I'm not a big resume guy and like, blah, where you been, where you go to college. But for me, I like to see people that have worked at other places for a long period of time, right? That's always the biggest red flag is, you know, their place, you know, they're here for 4 months and they're somewhere for 8 months and they're jumping around. I mean, I almost never hire anyone that jumps around. So I look for someone that has a skill base that's already worked at another company and then, you know, call on some key references. I mean, I think the times that I've just hired people off my gut in a good conversation without checking references has come back to bite me a couple times. So I think referencing and really vibing out kind of how they worked in another culture. And it doesn't mean, I mean, there's people I've hired that have crushed it at some of the, you know, billion-dollar companies to run my sales. And then they come and they're just a flop at my company. So it not always works out, but I like to check references and kind of look at their past history. And I think it's just a vibe, depending on what you're hiring them for. There's different skill sets to look at, right? Like talking about sales, if you can have a great conversation with the guy and you vibe well and he's almost selling you on five things in the room, then he's probably a good salesman.
Let's solve this whole resume deal. I get a lot of them, too, and I get people send me their tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've looked at more than 5 seconds of each tape. If I don't like the guy or what is on the tape. But do you even want a resume or would you rather? Do you need to know they were in the Spanish club?
No, I mean, I think resume is a point of reference and gets a conversation going with someone. And every once in a while you see something unique or something special on a resume. But for the most part, you know, I'm looking to have a discussion with them. I'm looking to find out where they are. I'm looking to kind of get an insight of, you know, where they want to be in 5 years. And I'm kind of looking for the best 5 years of their life.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. This is CEO Roundtable, Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. David Erickson is here. And Sean Neff from Neffware and from freeconferencecall.com. Did you ever envision yourself as a CEO, or are you one of those guys that said, someday I'll run my own company?
No, I was an idea guy and I wanted to build networks. I like racks full of equipment, blinking lights, those kind of things. And
who doesn't?
You know, a high take rate on a service. But the idea, we're currently at about 140 employees. And that's, you know, I never thought, hey, I want to manage a bunch of people or, you know, work on all of the things that a CEO does. And, you know, outside of the development of the product.
Right. I know you did, right? You imagined yourself in this creative position where you want something and you're going to offer it to people, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it's funny. And I look at a bit of the change, you know, what a traditional CEO is. And there's a lot of versions of what a CEO does, right? And some CEOs are the face of brands, and it's more of a show up, do the PR, do the CEO. But then there's others that are true operators, right? And I remember like 4 or 5 years ago, I caught myself like reading Jack Welch books and being like, oh, I'm gonna be a great CEO. And I look back at myself then going, what were you thinking? So for me...
By the way, Jack's a dear
amazing.
Friend of mine.
Oh, really?
An amazing guy.
Yeah, amazing human.
Brought that company from 70 million to 700 billion.
It's ridiculous. And I think for me, it's learning kind of what your skill sets are and what you like to do.
He would
like,
say that. Yeah.
Do I like sitting here being like Mr. CEO and day-to-day managing the organization? And I have similar employee count of him, and we're in 60 countries, and there's a lot going on. So I've actually hired a president that runs kind of the day-to-day ops of our business. And I'm more of the traditional CEO of vision and direction and branding and marketing and new product innovation. So I think the definition of CEO is different in all organizations, but and me as a human looking forward, I definitely don't want to be a guy that's running the day-to-day ops 9 to 5. I mean, that's just not
many
the funnest.
People do anymore. I mean, as the position of CEO has been changing every month, it seems to me, doing this show. There we are, CEO Roundtable. Thanks, gentlemen. This has been CEO Roundtable. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. This has been Business Rockstars. We'll see you next time.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.